Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. Also check out his great producing work over at 670 The Score. And you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Find us on Facebook as well, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Send us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can always hit us up on that text to voicemail line that's always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. Did a episode taking some Facebook comments and some texts earlier this week, and we should be dropping a voicemails episode for you later today as well. So, just wanted to hop on and give you guys an extra episode to head into the weekend, reacting to the Bulls' loss to the Bucks on Thursday night. A few different topics I want to touch on. More struggles in the fourth quarter from Zach LaVine. More ghost appearances, and by that I mean more non-appearances from Lauri Markkanen, continuing to be a troubling concern. And some more questionable rotation decisions from Jim Boylan late in games. All of these are familiar problems for Bulls fans already through the first 12 games of the season, and we saw more of it against a Bucks team that was shorthanded and not playing well. The Bulls let a very winnable game against a division opponent on the road slip away. Really unfortunate and really frustrating to watch that one unfold down the stretch. Before we get into our first thoughts on this Bulls-Bucks game, wanted to give a quick shout-out to Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. You can start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals. Absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. Okay, I'm not going to bury the headline here. There are a lot of different takeaways that you could take from this Bulls loss to the Bucks, and as I said, it was a missed opportunity considering how poorly Milwaukee played. Yes, Giannis had himself a dynamite game per usual, 38-16, adding 4 assists and 3 steals. Other than that, though, I mean, they did get 31 points from Eric Bledsoe, who was a staggering 12 of 14 from the field, not to mention 7 of 8 from the free throw line. A lot of that came in poor transition defense moments for the Bulls, letting Bledsoe get to the rim at will. It's one thing to not be able to slow down the freight train that is the Greek Freak, and the Bulls certainly struggled to do that as well. But for a guy like Bledsoe to be able to get to the rim at will like he did was inexcusable, and this defense looked very soft last night. So that was unfortunate. But you still saw the Bucks shoot a terrible 18% from behind the three-point line. They only made 6 threes on the night. Milwaukee's never been a great three-point shooting team. Brooke Lopez was chucking up bricks all night. He was 1 of 7 from downtown. Giannis, when the Bulls did force him to shoot from behind the arc, was 1 of 5. And despite getting to the free throw line a staggering 47 times, Milwaukee only made 34 of their free throws for 72%, which, you know, counteracted the fact that the Bulls only made 25 trips to the free throw line and made 21 of them for 84%. So this was a winnable game for the Bulls. between the Bucks' poor shooting at the free throw line and the three-point line, they also turned the ball over 22 times. Well, the Bulls turned the ball over 20 times themselves. They got out-rebounded and outworked on the boards once again. The rebounding numbers 58-45 in favor of the Bucks. A lot of that coming crucial moments of the fourth quarter. And when the Bulls got the initial stop, they couldn't get the defensive rebound, and that is what helped the Bucks push the Bulls away and seal this win. But again, all of that, I think, is the details of what went wrong in this specific game. Some of it's different, some of it's the same, but the biggest takeaway from this game was Lauri Markkanen and his continued struggles. In the early moments of this game, it looked like Markkanen was going to have himself a bounce-back game. He had 11 points in the first half, including getting to the free throw line six times. He continued to struggle shooting the ball, and his three ball was not working. He did knock down a couple of them, but he still looked a little off. Whatever it is, whether it's this oblique injury or if he's just kind of in a funk trying to find his way in this new offensive system, where there's a lot of, sharing the ball, multi-ball handler system without actually calling a lot of plays. Whatever it is, Markkanen, he continued to look like he's in some kind of funk, but at least he was attacking and getting to the free throw line in the first half. And then the second half happened, and Markkanen was nowhere to be found. He had two shots in the second half and finished the game with only 9 field goal attempts. And 6 of those 9 came from behind the three-point line. There was a stretch between second quarter and either late third or early fourth where Markkanen had 0 field goal attempts in several minutes on the floor. And yes, he did have 8 rebounds in this game. He finished with 11-8. But he also had 5 fouls, 3 turnovers, and time and again got exposed and embarrassed, failing to protect the rim on the defensive end. And it wasn't just Giannis. I mentioned earlier the insane night that Eric Bledsoe had. How many times did we have to watch Eric Bledsoe go up and get an easy 2, just treating Markkanen like a traffic cone? I talked about this a little bit on Outsiders last night. Sometimes when Markkanen is performing well on the offensive end, and you could say the same thing for LaVine, you forgive some of their defensive weaknesses and flaws because of what they give you on the offensive end. But when Markkanen isn't producing offensively, his defensive weaknesses are even more glaring and apparent. And he just looks soft. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. Even for a diehard Markkanen fan like myself who wants to believe in this kid's future, meaning the Bulls, getting back to relevancy and getting this rebuild off the ground, and thinking that Markkanen will be a huge part of that, I can't mask my frustration. I can't cover for Markkanen's performance anymore. He looked awful last night. Awful. 9 shots. 2 of 9. And nothing in the second half. And not only that, he's getting exposed around the rim on the defensive end. One of the key plays in this game late, when the Bulls still had a chance to win this game, they just needed to get a couple of stops and a couple of buckets. And Ryan Arcidiacono is the one guarding Giannis, because apparently he's the only one who has the stones to put a body in front of this guy. And he actually gets underneath Giannis. You heard Boylan comment about it after the game about why he stuck Archie on Giannis and continued to do that down the stretch of the fourth quarter. Archie made Giannis take some difficult shots. And when he forced Giannis to miss on a couple of possessions, Markkanen and the other 4 Bulls on the court, outside of Archie, couldn't corral a defensive rebound, and the Bucks get put back points. You cannot afford that when a Bucks team that is this talented but playing this poorly and shooting this poorly is giving you every window and every opportunity to steal this game. You have to corral the defensive rebounds. And some of that has to do with the lineup that Boylan had out there, and we'll get to that later on. But this is about Markkanen right now. This is about the first team all rookie guy, the guy that averaged, you know, 15-7 his rookie year, then averaged 19-9 last season, and everyone was expecting this to be a year where he could potentially make that jump to be a 20-10 caliber player, an all-star caliber player, theoretically coming into this season healthy after, you know, the elbow injury just had a real issue where Markkanen needed to knock off some rust when he came back last season. But, I mean, maybe this oblique is bothering him a whole lot more than the Bulls are letting on. Maybe it's something he shouldn't be trying to play through. But it's not a full excuse, even if the oblique is an issue right now, because before that issue happened, before that injury happened, he was also, other than the first game of the season against Charlotte, not playing well, not continuously being aggressive, and, per usual, getting exposed on the defensive end and getting exposed on the boards. So the oblique thing doesn't make up for all of the excuse that Markkanen might need right now. And some of it could be coaching, some of it could be system. He and Boylan were both asked after the game by the media about only 9 shots and the fact that he was completely disengaged in the second half. And Boylan and Markkanen both just brushed it off for, well, we were playing team basketball, we were moving the ball, other guys were playing well, getting their looks. It's not about who gets this many shots, blah, 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 blah. Something has to be done differently. And I think that there is a share of blame here between Boylan, his system, and Markkanen's teammates not looking to get him involved early and often, or even in a game like this where Markkanen was involved early and then they completely abandon Markkanen as an integral part of this offense late in a winnable game. So some of the blame is on that. Some of the blame is on his teammates and his coach not getting Markkanen the looks that he deserves. But some of it right now, no excuses, looks like it's on Markkanen playing under the expectations that we have for him. And it's got Bulls fans in a fever. Our YouTube and Twitter comments while we were doing Outsiders last night were chock full of people saying, trade Markkanen. Sell him while you can get something for him. I am not there. I am definitely not there yet. I think it's way too early to give up on Markkanen. This kid is only 22 years old. And we have seen, yes, we haven't seen it consistently over a full season, but we have seen the potential in this kid. So I don't know what's going on with Markkanen right now, and I am getting more and more worried by the day, by the game, when he continues to ghost like this. And I am terrified of what it might mean for this Bulls rebuild if Markkanen turns out to not be what we think he could be. And I know that there are some doubters out there who said, I was never really a big Markkanen believer in the first place. Those people right now are saying, I told you so. It's 12 games in. I still have very big issues with the coaching of this team. And some of that, I think, could be affecting Markkanen's performance. But right now, it is hard to give Markkanen a pass for this string of games. He looks bad. And I'm worried. Sure would have been nice if we had some Markkanen buckets in that fourth quarter when this Bulls game was slipping away. A story all too familiar for Bulls fans so far this season. But it wasn't just on Markkanen. Zach LaVine had another rough night, had another rough fourth quarter in particular. Before we get to Zach LaVine, just wanted to let all of our Locked On Bulls listeners know about my bookie. You can use your Bulls and basketball knowledge to prove you have what it takes at mybookie.ag, where they make it easy to play and even easier to get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA and mybookie.ag will match 50% off your first deposit. That's promo code LOCKEDONNBA at mybookie.ag. Play, win, get paid. Does Zach LaVine make his team better? That is a question that Bulls fans have been hearing and asking each other since he came in the Jimmy Butler trade. And the numbers for the analytics heads out there have been worrisome, to say the least. Last night's game was another example of the argument that he does not make his team better, despite his offensive skill and his athletic ability. Zach LaVine had 25 points on 8 of 20 shooting last night. 4 of 9 from downtown, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Added 7 assists, which you like to see. 3 rebounds, a few steals, but 5 turnovers. And he, like Wendell Carter Jr., fouled out of this game that featured lots of whistles and lots of free throws for Milwaukee. So not the most efficient 25 points. You'd like to see LaVine be able to get 25 with fewer than 20 shots. More trips to the free throw line would be ideal. At least he shot the ball pretty well from behind the arc. But we saw more questionable shot selection from Zach down the stretch. We saw 2 very costly turnovers late in this game as the Bulls were letting a winnable game slip away. He had 2 ill-advised passes when the Bulls were trying to get out in transition, and I respect the fact that the Bulls try to capitalize on their opportunities to score before their opponent's defense gets set, and that Zach has been tasked by Borland to be one of the people to push the pace of this offense in transition. But you can't do it at the expense of protecting the ball. The Bucks turned the ball over 22 times. The Bulls should have gotten an edge in that category last night, but they didn't. And Zach was not the only guilty party, but this was another game providing examples of Zach's poor decision-making in crunch time. There were 2 different passes he tried to make, one of them to Thad Young and I think the other to Coby White, where he was trying to make like cross-court bounce passes, far-reaching passes that were easily intercepted by a Bucks player getting back in transition. These are mistakes that cannot happen. These are mistakes that this Bulls team, as limited as they are, cannot afford. Yes, Zach continues to struggle on the defensive end despite what we heard him say this offseason. He's tired about people talking shit about his defense. He did, as I mentioned, he had 3 steals in this game. Zach, you know, had instances where he would make up for a mistake on the offensive end and get back and make a solid play on defense, but it's still not enough. He's still getting exposed on defense. But even more concerning than that is his decision-making. I am getting more and more convinced that LaVine's basketball IQ is not where it needs to be. He is a very talented scorer, and as some Bulls fans rightly point out when those people are trashing on LaVine after a game like this where he, you know, has these you know, head slap moments late in the games, he is one of maybe 2 or 3 at best players on this roster who has the ability to create their own shot. And again, and I've said this before, it's, you know, live and die by Zach LaVine. And that's not an ideal situation for this team because it's die more often than live when it comes to those late game situations and Zach tries to play hero ball. And it wasn't even Zach necessarily trying to play hero ball. He did a little bit of that in the fourth quarter of this loss to the Bucks, but it was also him trying to share the ball and just move the ball up the court and pass it and share the ball. But it was a turnover, and it was an unforced turnover. It is decision-making that is at the key of my issue with Zach LaVine and what I think is limiting him from being a guy who can close games. The Bulls as a team are, you know, quote-unquote, trying to learn how to win right now. And again, some of that is on the coach and the decisions he's making, and we'll get to that in our last segment. But right now, Zach LaVine, every time you want to believe in this kid and his ability to be the guy for a team that can win games and win close games late, he proves the opposite. He did it again last night. And that is a very scary thing. When you couple that with the struggles that Markkanen is enduring right now, the fact that these two are supposed to be your future. These two are supposed to be the core that you're building around. And you got Markkanen ghosting in the second half of games. You got Markkanen not even getting 10 shot attempts. You got Markkanen cold from the floor. You got Markkanen being too hesitant, not aggressive attacking the basket, getting cooked at the rim. And Zach LaVine is making these head-scratching, painfully dumb mistakes that are costing the team games. You want to know something real scary? This is per stats.nba.com. Zach LaVine's net rating of negative 5.7 is the third worst among Bulls players that are regularly in Boylan's rotation. One of the two players with a worse rating is Chandler Hutchison, who's only made five appearances now and is still getting his footing in. He's a negative seven. And who has been recently removed from the rotation? Luke Kornet with an 11.2, negative 11.2. So of the people with regular appearances in Boylan's rotation so far this season, Zach LaVine's net rating is better than only Chandler Hutchison, and not by much, and Luke Kornet. Dunn, Young, Markkanen, Archie, Satoransky, White, Otto, Wendell all have better net ratings than Zach LaVine, who's supposed to be this team's star player, supposed to be this team's first all-star in the rebuild era. That is not good. The question of does Zach LaVine make his team better is getting very scary to answer without any bias of, well, he makes his team better because he scores the ball. Well, right now, the Bulls' best lineups, when it comes to metrics and ratings and plus minus, they don't feature Zach LaVine. And that is very scary to think about. But again, this is a team sport. It is not an individual sport. Markkanen deserves some blame for that Bulls loss. Zach LaVine deserves some blame for that Bulls loss to the Bucks. So does Jim Boylan. And that is what we will talk about here as we wrap up. Just a reminder that you should check out all of the Locked On Chicago Sports podcasts in our Locked On Podcast Network family. Locked On Cubs with Sean Sears and the newly added Locked On White Sox with Herb Lawrence. Locked On Blackhawks, another recent addition with Jay Zawoski. And of course, Locked On Bears with Lauren Cox. Bears with a big Sunday Night Football matchup and a needed win against the Rams out in Los Angeles coming up this Sunday night. Check out all of the podcasts in the Locked On Chicago family. So, another night where Jim Boylan's rotations are interesting, shall we say? That's about as nicely as I can put it. We saw down the stretch last night Jim Boylan stick with a four-guard lineup. Now, his comments after the game about why he had Ryan Arcidiacono, all 6'2" of him, guarding Giannis, the Greek freak Antetokounmpo, down the stretch of that game, and some of what Boylan was saying was legitimate in that based on tape, based on what we know about Giannis, sometimes he struggles when smaller guys guarding him get up underneath him. And Archie was doing exactly that. He was bodying Giannis. He was making him uncomfortable, and he was forcing him to take difficult shots. Good for Archie. And before I go all in on Boylan, honestly, you got to give credit to Archie for gutting out that game. He played 24 minutes. I'm pretty sure he played the entire fourth quarter. He finished with 7 points on 2 of 6 shooting, so nothing great there. 3 assists and no steals and no blocks in the box score. But taking charges, diving for loose balls, making hustle plays at every turn in this game. And you can understand why Jim Bulls Across the Chest Boylan loves this kid. And yes, it's not ideal when Archie is not only looking like the guy who cares the most on the floor for your Bulls, and looks like he cares more than Lowry, looks like he cares more than Zach LaVine, and is thus putting in more effort. But it's not ideal if he's the guy that you're being that is being asked to guard Giannis. I mean, and we saw immediately in the first quarter when Boylan made his first sub and took Wendell out that he switched Markkanen off of Giannis and onto Brook Lopez and had Thad Young guard Giannis. That's one of the reasons the Bulls signed Thad Young, is so he could guard Giannis, who the Bulls have to play all the time. Markkanen can't guard Giannis, obviously. Not a chance. He was getting exposed. He was getting exposed by Eric Bledsoe, for Christ's sake. But you also have Chandler Hutchison, who, despite his offensive limitations, has shown some promise on the defensive end. He certainly could have grabbed a freaking rebound or two in the fourth quarter when the Bulls were giving the Bucks second chance points and blowing this chance at a win. Because that's one thing that Hutch does well, is rebound. He was nowhere to be found in the fourth quarter. And maybe try, you look, it's hard to stop Giannis. And Archie did as best he could and did better than anybody else on that roster. Maybe try giving Hutch a possession or two to see whether or not he can guard Giannis. But at the very least, have him in there to rebound a damn ball. Markkanen couldn't get a defensive rebound to save his life when he needed to, when he wasn't even being tasked with guarding Giannis. Archie forced Giannis to miss, and Markkanen couldn't get a rebound. Maybe Hutch could have gotten a rebound. Maybe somebody taller than the four-guard lineup that Boylan had out there could have gotten a rebound to seal a stop the Bulls needed to go back on the other end and get a bucket to tie the game, to take the lead in the game, et cetera, et cetera. No. Boylan stuck with that four-guard lineup for like 9 minutes to finish the game. And he'll continue to talk about how the Bulls can't get continuously outworked and out-rebounded like this. Well, Jim, some of these things you're doing to yourself. You can't shoot yourself in the foot and say, "Ow, I've been shot." You can't shoot yourself in the foot and then blame the person who sold you the gun. The Bulls players are underperforming, some more than others. But Boylan is not putting them in the best possible position to win games, to close games. How many games now have the Bulls lost when they had a lead at some point in the fourth quarter? And yes, this was a tough opponent. This was less egregious than the Bulls blowing an 18-point loss to the Knicks, or blowing a lead to the Hornets, or blowing a lead to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Bucks are good, and they have the reigning MVP. But again, as I said at the beginning of the show, the Bucks didn't even shoot 20% from behind the three-point line. The Bucks got all the calls, but only hit 70% of their free throws. The Bucks turned the ball over 22 times. The Bucks gave the Bulls every chance to steal this game. And yes, LaVine committed costly turnovers in the fourth. Yes, Markkanen ghosted us again. But some of these rotations the gym is insisting upon are just ridiculous. And he said after the game, "I'm proud of the way my guys fought." Well, you can be proud of the way your guys fought, and you can be proud of your teacher's pet, Ryan Arcidiacono, who did, again, credit to him, have a hell of a game, despite what the box score might say, doing all the little things. But you can't get a rebound when you need one, and you got a four-guard lineup out there. Some of these losses are more on Jim than the players. And that is tangentially related to my concern that some of this lack of development, and in some cases not even that, but regression with key players on this Bulls roster, are not only because players are not performing and not working hard and not doing what they need to do to progress, but because Boylan is putting them in wrong positions. He is not putting them in the best possible positions to succeed. He is hindering them with his inability to coach. And it's a giant mess. All of it. And the Bulls lost another winnable game. And as I saw from the NBA Math Twitter account earlier today, and I tweeted it out, there is pretty clear-cut evidence already that the Bulls are failing to capitalize on this easy schedule. their comparison of strength of schedule and net rating. So, you know, results versus strength of schedule. They are in the bottom left quadrant of the graph. That's not where you want to be. That means poor results off of an easy schedule. The schedule only gets harder by the day, by the week, by the month for the Bulls this season. And there is another winnable game where the Bucks laid a dud and were without their number two, Chris Middleton, and were chucking up bricks and were bricking free throws and were turning the ball over and doing everything they could to give the Bulls a win. And LaVine's decision-making, Markkanen ghosting, and Boylan making head-scratching rotation decisions once again cost the Bulls a winnable game. And now here we sit at 4-8, 12 games into the season. It's not pretty. Unfortunately, it is reality. That's it for today. That's it for the week. Hope all of you Bulls fans have a fantastic weekend. If you're going out, bundle up. Oh, God, I can't believe winter is already here. This is really depressing. It's going to be a long winter unless the Bulls get their shit together. Let's all hope for our collective sake that they do. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying, as always, don't forget that text to voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at Bulls_Peck and Jordan C. Malley at Locked On Bulls. If you're looking for stuff to ingest various content this weekend, I wrote my weekly pecking order column for NBCSportsChicago.com about Kobe White and his big game against the Knicks, so go check that out. In the Bulls podcast world, I know that my co-star Big Dave recently joined Matt Gentile's Rebuildable podcast for a great episode. We also have Big Dave joining Kendall and Jason Goff for a recent episode of Bulls Talk that dropped late last night. And of course, go check out the latest No Zones with Tony Gill. Shout out to Tony. News just dropped today that he will be moving from 670 The Score to joining our NBC Sports Chicago family as a podcast producer. Excited about that news. So congrats to Tony, our guy, part of the Bulls podcast family. Lots of great content out there. Also, go check out Mark Chanowski, who wrote a great piece about Kobe White and some of the other impressive rookies so far this NBA season. Also available on NBCSportsChicago.com. So, for Jordan, I'm Matt. Thanks for listening, Bulls Nation. Hopefully we can get a W tomorrow night against Kyrie and the Nets. We'll talk to you on Monday. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com